Please pray with me. O Heavenly Father,
O Heavenly Father,
Divine Mother,
Divine Mother,
Beloved Jesus Christ,
Beloved Jesus Christ,
Blessed Master,
Blessed Master,
Dearest Mother,
Dearest Mother,
Saints and Sages of all religions,
Saints and Sages of all religions,
I bow to all of you.
I bow to all of you.
Free my life from all obstacles. And give me physical, mental, and spiritual development.
And give me physical, mental, and spiritual development.
Make my mind thy temple.
Make my mind thy temple.
Make my heart thy altar.
Make my heart thy altar.
Make my love thy home.
Make my love thy home.
Be thou the only king.
Be thou the only king.
Reigning on the throne of my consciousness.
Reigning on the throne of my consciousness.
Metaphysical Meditations by Paramahansa Yogananda. This was published in 1932. On the infinite. Look at a light and close your eyes. Forget the darkness around you and watch the blood-red color in your eyelids. Try to look intently into that violet-red color before you. Meditate on it, and imagine that it is becoming bigger and bigger. Behold that all around you is a dimly shining sea of violet light. You are a wave of light, a ripple of peace floating on its surface. Now watch carefully. You, the little wave, are tossing on the whole ocean of light. Around you, your life is tossing with all pervading life. You, a little shallow wave of peace, are becoming the deeper, wider ocean of peace as your meditation deepens. Meditate on, I am a wave of peace. I am a wave of peace. I have become the limitless ocean of peace. I have become the limitless ocean of peace. Feel the vastness just beneath your consciousness. Feel the vastness just beneath your consciousness. The wave must feel the touch of the vast ocean beneath it. experience that occurred to me in meditation many years ago now. The inward eye within my consciousness was centered at the base of my brain. It was focused upward, and within the cavity of my skull was a blue aura of light that was curved like a dome, like looking up in an interior, from an interior perspective of a building that has a dome in it, and it was a vast vault of blue. A unique feature of this blue was that it had no beginning and no end, and yet it had this apparent curved feature to it. It's a very deep blue. It extended out and out and out. And along with it, my consciousness became elastic, as it were. And it, too, extended out and out and out. This is the vast freedom of spirit that is within you. Touch that sense of freedom within yourself, and you are in touch with your oneness with God, that infinite, vast spirit of consciousness, intelligence, light, peace, joy, love. Identify daily with this vast universal spirit, which in truth you are. From the Bhagavad Gita, chapter 7, Krishna speaking. And in this instance, Krishna is that universal spirit, the I Am within the soul, speaking to the individual soul, or in other words, in Hindu language, it is the Para Atman, the universal spirit, speaking to the Atman, the individual soul. I am not known to evildoers nor to foolish ones, nor to the base and churlish, nor to those whose mind is cheated by the show of things, nor those that take the way of asuras, beings of low and devilish nature. Four sorts of mortals know me. He who weeps, the Bhakta, and the man who yearns to know, the Yani, and he who toils to help, the Karma Yogi, and he who sits certain of me, enlightened, the Yogi. Of these four, O Prince of India, highest, nearest, best, that last is the devout soul, wise, intent upon the One. Dear above all am I to him, and he is dearest unto me. All four are good, and seek me. But mine own, the true of heart, the faithful, stayed on me, take me as their utmost blessedness. They are not mine, but I, even I myself. At the end of many births, to me they come, yet hard the wise Mahatma is to find. That man who saith, all is Vasudev, all is God. There be those too whose knowledge turned aside by this desire or that gives them to serve some lower gods and with various rites, constrained by that which moldeth them. Unto all such, worship what shrine they will, what shapes in faith, 'tis I who give them faith. I am content. The heart thus asking favor from its God, darkened but ardent, hath the end it craves, the lesser blessing, but 'tis I who give it. Yet soon is withered what small fruit they reap. Those men of little minds who worship so, go where they worship, passing with their gods. But mine, come unto me. Blind are the eyes which deem the unmanifested manifest, not comprehending me in my true self, imperishable, viewless, undeclared, hidden behind my magic veil of shows. I am not seen by all. I am not known. Unborn and changeless to the idle world. But I, Arjuna, know all things which were, and all which are, and all which are to be. Albeit not one among them knoweth me. By passion for the pairs of opposites, by those twin snares of like and dislike, prince, all creatures live bewildered, save some few who quit of sins, holy in act, informed, freed from the opposites, and fixed in faith, cleave unto me. Who cleave, who seek in me refuge from birth and death, those have the truth. Those know me, Brahma. Know me. Know me, soul of souls. The Adiatman. Know karma, my work. Know I am Abed Bhutta, the Lord of life. An Adi Deva, Lord of all gods. An Adi Ajna, Lord of sacrifice. They worship me well with hearts of love and faith, and find and hold me in the hour of death. We have powerful events swirling about us. In the world today, there is great intensity, and so many feel it. We must remember that the world of activity, the world of action, is on three different levels. There is the causal level, or the idea level, from which everything springs, flowing from pure spirit. From that energy of the astral creates form of the subtle realm, which we may oftentimes call the heavens. And then there is the final manifestation of this physical reality that we are all living in. Whenever there are large movements, in society, large movements within this world as there are at this time. The original cause happens within the mental or the causal realm. That is the reason why it is called the causal realm, is because it is the causal agent for everything else that manifests. From a human perspective, that is the realm of ideas. And so we find that there are a clash of ideas in this world. Those ideas are then manifested as energy forms. And people are activated by this causal or this astral realm of energy. There are many people who are sensitive on the causal realm. There are many people, even more people, who are sensitive on the astral realm. We are all influenced by these realms, whether we are sensitive in a conscious way to them or not. In order to have our peace, in order to be anchored in the divine consciousness, we must first recognize that there are these other agents of the causal and the astral as well as the physical that are influencing not only ourselves but all the people around us. In times such as these, there is oftentimes great agitation. Those souls who are little skilled in being able to channel, you may say, this kind of energy, or be in the sea of this kind of energy, become reactive to it. And as a result, they lose their peace. They lose their consciousness, if they have had it, with their oneness with their true self. As sadhakas, those who are striving to maintain that highest state of consciousness always, in all circumstances, have to encounter these various energies, these various influences upon us. In order to do that, we have to continuously reach back to that universal consciousness from which we have sprung. The great difficulty that we as human beings encounter is that we have left our conscious knowledge of our origin, of that universal spirit, the meditation that Master wrote about, of having this universal light, this universal consciousness that I was speaking of, an experience that I had in meditation once. Because we have lost contact with that inner universal consciousness, we identify with the outer forms, whether in the astral, perhaps in the causal, or in the physical realms. As a result of that, we're like shadow boxers. With the light shining behind us, we see our own shadows and we try to throw punches at it. We try to manipulate it. We try to change it in order to make ourselves happy. We think that if we can arrange the shadows in a particular way, that we will find real happiness and peace. But as you might guess, simply manipulating the shadows will bring no real peace because the shadows are unmanageable ultimately. We are reactive to them and they respond to us. And the moment that there is any kind of settling down in this world, any kind of peace that seems to be coming about in this world, there is some disruption. When I was in India last, I was sitting with Swami Satchidananda. They were discussing the troubles that were going on in India at the time. There were many uprisings due to clashes and differences between the Hindus and the Muslims. And it occurred to me that peace was a very real prospect throughout all the world if good souls, people of good intent, were to join together and make it so, if that became their desire. But it seemed that instead of having peace, there was a constant disruption that people were actually drawn to unease. And through that agitation, through that identification with the dis-ease in the world, there's a constant stirring up. And I told Swamiji, I says, you know, it seems like God likes his play. Because every time it settles down and it could just dissolve back and all into him, he stirs the soup again. And in stirring the soup, all the sediment seems to come, get stirred up from the bottom. It gets mixed in with the top. And it occurred to me that that's exactly what's going on. By the mixing of the elements, by the exposure of the sediment at the bottom, it can get resolved ultimately. Now, this produces clashes in the short run. But in the long run, it's a way of God evolving himself from the lower to the higher. It is only in this realm of the physical that we have such wide variance of consciousness. Only here that a Gandhi and a Hitler would coexist upon the earth. As Sri Yukteswar describes, in the astral realms, you go to a particular world, you go to a particular realm that is attuned to your state of consciousness. If you have a highly refined state of consciousness, you go to a highly refined astral world. If you go to a very hellish kind of region, you will find that there are those who are competing for power and monopoly, even as there are those who do here on earth. And they are working out their astral karma, much in the way that they did on this earth. But those who are in the highly refined regions of the astral realms, or perhaps the causal realms, also need to come back to this physical existence, because it is here that we are told that everything must be worked out, that even the highest beings must come here for their ultimate salvation, for their ultimate evolution, into that highest state of consciousness. Now, why is this true? It is here that we can encounter the very highest and the very lowest of all earthly, all worldly, all types of consciousness. It is here that when we just transcend the world of this duality and are no longer disturbed by the outer events, no longer dislodged from our inward spiritual oneness with God, no matter what our circumstances, no matter what the people are who are around us, once we establish ourselves in that, nothing can shake us. Nothing can take us from that universal consciousness. It is good and it is right at times in our own sadhana to retire from this world in order to establish ourselves more completely and more totally in that spiritual consciousness. But it behooves us to once again enter back into the world in order to face all the circumstances this world has to offer and to stand above it. Krishna speaks of this as in terms of his own attainment, that he stands beyond this world first and foremost. He sees himself as the originator and the creator of this world. He mingles with this world. He is a part of it. But he is never consumed by it. He is never totally drawn in by it. He stands apart from it, and he sees it as his play. Now we can look at him and say, well, he is an incarnation of God. That's his state of consciousness. But what he is doing is he is articulating the truth for us all. The truth is that your very nature, your true nature, stands beyond this creation, whether you realize it or not, whether you can accept it or not. The truth is you are that eternal spiritual consciousness, what Papa calls the static spirit. It is unmoved by the things of this world. That peace, that joy, that realm of light is pre-existent to everything else that you have experienced in life. And it is post-existent to everything that you will experience from now into the future. And it is your true existence right here, right now. In many of the great religions, there's a great emphasis put upon death, as if death has some magical formula to it to release you from the suffering and the difficulties of this earth. But there is nothing special in dying. Everybody does it. Everybody does it. There's nothing special in physical death. You carry with you all of your patterns. All of your karma travels along with you. There is no magic solution in dying. What is rare, there are those who die to their little self and learn to identify with their grand universal self. This is what is rare. This is what we are called upon to do. But in order to do that, we have to cut asunder our attachment to the things of this world. And it is here from the Bible, St. Matthew, chapter 10, verse 34, Jesus speaking, "Think not that I come to send peace on earth. I came not to send peace, but a sword. For I am come to set a man at variance against his father, and the daughter against her mother, and the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And a man's foes shall be they of his own household. He that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me." And even as Krishna, thousands of years before, was speaking of the I in the universal sense, so here Jesus is speaking of his I in the universal sense. "And he that taketh not his cross and followeth after me is not worthy of me. He that findeth his life shall lose it. And he that loseth his life for my sake shall find it. He that receiveth you receiveth me. And he that receiveth me, receiveth him that sent me. In order to enter into this inward spiritual consciousness, we have to leave aside the notion of I and mine, my life. This is me, this is mine. This is my body, this is my world, this is my whatever, fill in the blank. When we turn aside from all of that in meditation, and it's not an easy thing to do, the moment we close our eyes and try to focus inwardly, all of those identifications of I and mine come right to mind. They don't have to be physically present. We can close our eyes to them, and still they're right in our mind. They follow us wherever we go. We could travel to the most holy, sacred spots in this world. The ego would be right there with us. Although Papa used to say at an ashram that there was a peg out on the front gate, and that when people came in, the ego jumped off and hung itself on the peg. But the moment they left the ashram grounds, the ego would jump right back on, and off they would go on their merry way. So sometimes people are on best behavior when they're attending church or a spiritual group or going to a sacred site, so temporarily the ego is put on hold. But just as soon as we leave those precincts and those grounds, there the ego goes, riding along on its merry way. Same with meditation. We may have moments when we transcend the notions of I and mine and identify with the universal spirit. But it is not enough. We have to learn to dive deeper, more completely, more thoroughly identifying with that universal self, where we can say with Jesus, I of myself am nothing. It is my Father who doeth the works. We know that. It is not simply a mental affirmation. It is not a denial of life. We do not become a non-personality. Look at the lives of Krishna, Jesus, Buddha, Mother, Master, all the great masters. They do not have non-personalities. They don't disappear from the world stage. They have great personalities, strong personalities, sometimes difficult personalities to understand. But their consciousness is rooted in the divine. So it is not that we become a non-entity. Rather, we come to know that it is the divine consciousness that manifests itself as our personality. Right now, we think, I am this personality. And we do not realize completely and thoroughly this universal nature from which we have come. If you want to be a real blessing to this world right now, if you want to help this world to heal of its sorrows and its wounds right now, identify most seriously with that divine consciousness. Never release your hold on it, either as a mental affirmation or as an inner living reality. You can, like Papa, constantly affirm, the world is God, everything is God, this person I'm meeting is God, what I'm watching on television is God, and see it manifesting the light of God. And through that mental affirmation, you become a small doorway for the light to shine onto that situation. A light going to those people, all of them, who are involved in these mighty events. And gradually that door opens wider into the totality of experience, where you not only just mentally affirm it, but there is a deep knowledge inside of you that never lets go of you, that is constant. You know that you know. You know the inner and outer reality are manifestations of the one unified consciousness that is of light, that is of bliss, that is of joy. And whatever the passing show, it is your inner reality. I think I have mentioned it before, but there's a wonderful portrayal of this principle. I was watching a television show on the making of the movie Gandhi. And it's a wonderful movie, a wonderful film, but it's also difficult because it shows some very difficult scenes. And one of the scenes that was portrayed was of an English commander in charge of some troops who marches his troops into a square area where there is some kind of demonstration. It's a peaceful demonstration, men, women, and children. He marches his soldiers up and he orders them to fire into the crowd. And there are many, many innocent people who are dying as they are just sitting ducks to these soldiers as they fire. It is a tragic, historical scene. In this television show, making the movie of Gandhi, it shows them filming that scene. And suddenly, at the moment when the battle is over, somebody shouts, "Cut!" And everybody breaks from their roles. And there's these huge tables set off to the side where everybody's eating. And here's the British soldiers, and here's the Indians covered in blood and gore, all sitting enjoying a very fine meal, laughing and joking with each other. And I thought, isn't that a fine illustration of this world play, that no matter how seemingly we are on opposite sides through conflicts and clashes, that beneath it all, we are all God's children, and this is our play. We are writing it, we are producing it, we are starring in it, and we are the audience to it. Now, this is a difficult concept when you are not established in that consciousness, because you see the suffering, you see the difficulties, and that is very real for those individuals at that time. Master told the story in the autobiography of a yogi. When he was meditating one day in India, and suddenly his consciousness was transferred to the body of a commander on a ship, and just about that moment, a shell, large shell, hit the ship and exploded the ammunition magazine that then blew up the entire ship. Down it went. Suddenly he was in the water, swimming for his life. He got to shore, fully identifying with everything that this individual soul was experiencing. And as he got to the shore, he thought, I'm safe. And just about then, a bullet caught him. And he felt his life seeping out of his own body. Suddenly, his consciousness was back in his own body in India. He is wrapping his arms around himself, pinching himself to make sure that he is still there, congratulating himself that he had escaped this terrible death. When suddenly his consciousness was again riveted back to this body, back in Europe once again. And in his confused state, he said, Lord, what is this all about? And God says, don't you see, this is all my play of light. And then Master could see the unreality. Another incident, as World War I was raging, he saw some films at one of the theaters of the war. He went home and meditated, and with his inward vision, he saw the war raging on the battlefield, far worse than anything he had seen in the movies. And again, he asked God, how can you be involved in all of this? God lifted him up and showed that everything was a product of light. He said, don't you see? Everything is light. Everything is light. We were not intended to identify with this body. We were warned as individual souls. If you identify with this individual body, you will suffer. You will feel that you are going to die and that you will perceive yourself as dying, even though it is an unreality. But we ignored those warnings, obviously, because we are all here in this body consciousness. And the chain of cause and effect was then begun, that as we identified with this physical reality, we got further and further enmeshed into the conscious idea and identification with this body. In order to reverse this process, we must learn to identify with that universal divine consciousness. There's nothing stopping us from doing it. Let us let the vicissitudes of this life be reminders to release our hold on this life, not increase our hold, but to release our hold on this life. Not to identify more with this world and this body, but that wars and rumors of wars, that difficulties will always be a part of this worldly experience. Only by identifying with our universal divine consciousness will we escape the thraldom of the ups and downs of life. Only by learning to become one as we have always truly been, but we are consciously separated, will we escape the suffering that we have incurred by our own perhaps thoughtless identification with this body. Let us recover from our amnesia and know that we are eternally one with that divine spirit. O Heavenly Father, Divine Mother, I feel the wonder and the beauty of thy glorious presence in every part of my being. My heart is bursting with my love for thee. I kneel down in adoration at thy feet and surrender myself to thee. I feel the power of thy perfection surging in every cell of my body. My mind and my intelligence are radiant with thy healing light. My soul is filled with the ecstasy and bliss of my communion with thee. I and my Father are one. Blessed Spirit, I am He.
Blessed Spirit, I am He.
Amen. Amen. Namaste. Bow to the light.